in the car, and respect the property. Seatbelts are worn at all times. Low voices are always used in the vehicle. There is no eating in the car or bus unless the driver says it's okay. Teacher success can be traced to the ability of the teacher to manage the classroom. Sarah Jondal is an example of a successful and highly effective teacher. Go B. Create a classroom management plan. Sarah's classroom management action plan is the heart of the e-learning course featured on classroommanagement.com. Learn more about this course in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 20 at effectiveteaching.com. An elementary teacher's experience. I am a single parent, and it is sometimes difficult to leave for work on schedule, but I was on time. Alas, my good fortune was not to continue, because traffic came to a halt on the freeway due to an accident. As I sat in my car waiting to resume my commute, I tried to imagine the scene in my classroom. I could not call to let anyone know I would be late. What would 25 unsupervised fifth graders do? What would I find upon my arrival? Would the gym teacher be annoyed because we were all going to be late for gym? What I found in my classroom was a beautiful reward for 20 years of loving students and striving to make them responsible and self-sufficient. To my amazement, I found an empty classroom and the following note left on my desk. Dear Ms. Gould, we took the attendance, did the lunch count, completed our morning math warm-ups, and went to gym. Love, your class. I cannot agree with you more on the importance of clearly defined procedures and routines. My students are proof of this. Sue Gould Flynn, Williamsville, New York. A high school teacher's experience. I arranged for a substitute teacher and left lesson plans in my gradebook, World History and PE. Unfortunately, the substitute teacher went to the wrong room and arrived with 10 minutes remaining in first period. He found the students on task working on their assignment. They had opened the classroom through another classroom, recognized the lack of a teacher, taken the roll book from my desk, taken the roll, found the lesson plan in the book, and proceeded with the lesson for the day. There's more. On the day that I was absent, we were on an assembly schedule. The substitute teacher did not know of the schedule change. During my prep period, he left the campus to run an errand, planning to return by regular fifth period. Unfortunately, while he was gone, fifth period happened. As I arrived the next day, this is what I was told. When you didn't arrive, Mr. Wall, we took the roll for you. When you still weren't here, we did our calisthenics. Then we went outside to do our activities. When it started to rain, we came back in and played our game in the gym. It wasn't planned, but my daily procedures had taken hold of my classes, and the students never missed a beat. Procedures and routines work. Bob Wall, Susanville, California. The class runs itself. Once you establish structure and responsibility, you can have the most exciting classroom in school, doing all the challenging and fascinating things students love to do. You will also be able to leave school knowing that if you were not in class tomorrow, the class could responsibly run itself. The ineffective teacher begins the first day of school attempting to teach a subject and spends the rest of the year running after the students. The effective teacher spends most of the first week teaching the students how to follow classroom procedures. When students know how the class is run, they will be more willing to do whatever you want them to do. You can then have an exciting and challenging classroom that maximizes student learning time because procedures and routines manage the classroom. I'm managing my attitude, too. I had a disastrous first year as a teacher. I could not control my students, and as a result, I was asked to not return to teach. Well, I got another job the second year in an alternative high school. That summer I got a copy of The First Days of School, and I began to map out a plan. On the first day of school, I started to work that plan. Now, it felt really weird because it just didn't match my personality. However, the students seemed to be responsive, and so I kept on the plan. What happened is that the very positive student response drove me to work the plan even harder. Soon I had the lowest referral rate in the school. Now these were students who had to leave their regular home school and come to my alternative classroom. In fact, one of them is now in prison. But they enjoyed my class. They made astonishing progress and they liked my class. Several of them even went back to their home school and became star performers. What happened is that gradually I realized that not only was I managing my classroom, I was also managing my teaching and managing my attitude. Marjorie T. The effective teacher, 1, structures the class with procedures and routines. 2, teaches classroom and instructional procedures. 3, has a classroom that can run itself. Unit D. Third characteristic. Lesson mastery. The effective teacher knows how to design lessons to help students achieve. 21. How to create an effective assignment. The key idea. The greater the structure of a lesson and the more precise the directions on what is to be accomplished, the higher the achievement rate. Children come to school to learn. Learning basics. Learning has nothing to do with what the teacher covers. Learning has to do with what the student accomplishes. We owe it to kids to teach them what they do not know and to teach it well. Politicians, the press, parents, and even the students are all clamoring for engaging curriculum. Learning. The future of humanity depends upon it. Students come to school for one reason only, to learn. Remember, we stated that chapters 19 and 20 on procedures and routines are the most important chapters in the book. You must get your classroom organized for learning. Unit D is the most important unit in the book. It will show you how to get your students to learn and achieve. Assuming you have mastered the skill of positive expectations and classroom management, you are now ready to teach the knowledge and skills students come to school to learn. But you can only teach the knowledge and skills if you have built a caring relationship and have created a safe, organized classroom. The effective teacher knows how to teach for student learning, chapter 21, test for student learning, chapter 22, assess for student learning, chapter 23, enhance student learning, chapter 24. Instruction, what the teacher does to teach for learning. Assessment, what the teacher does to assess for student learning. The effective teacher is learner-focused. The student is the learner, and a learner must learn. For this to happen, the teacher must be an effective instructor. Good instruction is 15 to 20 times more powerful than family background and income, race, gender, and other explanatory variables. Student learning must be at the heart of all decisions made in the school. The research is very specific about student learning. Mike Schmoker says, lay out a sound set of standards and then actually teach these standards, and there will be an immense increase in levels of achievement almost immediately. Robert Marzano reported on a study of what affects student achievement and says, it is what gets taught. Andrew Porter of the University of Pennsylvania says, what gets taught is the strongest possible predictor of gains in achievement. Schools exist and teachers are hired for one reason only, to help students learn and achieve. Teachers are charged with getting the students to comprehend and achieve. There is no one right way to do this. Just like classroom management, there is no one right procedure for getting the students to do what you want them to do. There are many options, but they are based on core information. That's the purpose of Unit D, to teach you some fundamentals and understandings all teachers need to know about mastery learning. This chapter shows how to write assignments in which students demonstrate that learning, comprehension, or mastery has taken place. What is an ineffective assignment? The bottom line in education is student learning. If the students do not do their assignments, no learning will occur. It is commonplace for teachers to give assignments and expect students to complete the assignments. However, not all students complete their assignments, often because they either cannot understand the assignment or they fail to see the reason for doing it. In both cases, the assignment may be poorly designed. For instance, the teacher says, "The assignment is Chapter 7, and there will be a test on Friday covering everything in Chapter 7. Chapter 7? The students have absolutely no idea what this means. Neither do the parents, whom the teachers incessantly proclaim should be more involved. An ineffective assignment results when the teacher tells the class what will be covered. Not only is Chapter 7 an ineffective assignment, it is not an assignment at all. It is simply an announcement of a chapter number. The following are also ineffective assignments. Open your books to page 143. Pages 404 to 413. Questions 9 to 19. Moby Dick. Write a paper on the Byzantine period. Long division. Do this worksheet. Watch this video. Break into groups. It is difficult, if not impossible, for a student to get the work done when the assignment does not spell out what the student is to learn. There are no standards, no objectives, and no activities done for a specified reason. It's like shooting arrows blindfolded, hoping that one will hit a non-existing target. When the students have no idea what is to be learned, and the teacher has no idea what is to be taught, no student learning can take place. This explains why students come to class every day and ask, "What are we going to do today?" Or they ask that really nerve-wracking question, "Are we doing anything important today?" Don't blame the students, because they truly do not understand the assignment. Some students call this mystery learning. Ineffective teachers stumble from day to day wondering what to do next. Their students ask, "Why are we doing this?" Or they declare, seemingly in unison, "We're bored." When this happens, no learning takes place and behavior problems ensue. Common sense dictates that if you do not teach it, students won't learn it. If a salesperson does not upsell the product, the customers aren't going to buy it. If the pitcher does not throw the ball, the batter will have nothing to hit. And if you don't send invitations to a wedding, the guests are not going to come. Stop asking, "What video am I going to show? What activity am I going to do? What worksheet am I going to give out?" The only one doing any work in these questions is the teacher. And when the test scores come back disappointing, as they surely will, this teacher will become angry and blame the students. "Well, I covered the material. If they don't want to learn it, it's not my fault." Here's what you should be asking. What do I want the students to learn? What do I want the students to accomplish? Convey to the students what you want them to learn or accomplish so that they can take control of their own learning. When the students know what they are to learn, it becomes mastery learning rather than mystery learning. Learning has nothing to do with what the teacher covers. Learning has to do with what the student accomplishes. The role of the teacher is not to cover. The role of a teacher is to uncover. The effective teacher uncovers the lesson by telling the students up front what the students will accomplish. Stop covering and start accomplishing. Stop asking, "What am I going to cover tomorrow?" Start asking, "What will my students learn, achieve, and accomplish tomorrow?" One of the most frequently used and useless phrases in education is, "I have so much to cover. How am I going to finish it by the end of the year?" Notice that the word "I" is used twice, and the word "student" is never used. Getting the students to learn is the teacher's top priority. Teaching is not coverage, because coverage has nothing to do with learning. Why? Because the students do not know what the teacher wants them to accomplish. Worse yet, the teacher probably does not know what he or she wants the students to know. Learning has nothing to do with what the teacher covers. Learning has to do with what the student is able to accomplish. Learning occurs only when a student demonstrates accomplishment. The four steps to creating an effective assignment. 1. Determine what you want the students to accomplish. 2. Write each accomplishment as a single sentence. 3. Give the students a copy of the same sentences. 4. Post or send these sentences home with the students. Look at the word assignment. It means that someone will be assigned a task, and at the end of the task, a result or a product should be evident. For instance, you say to an assistant, "Please type this letter and then give it to me so that I can sign it." The letter may go back and forth a couple of times, but the assistant has been given a clear assignment, and the expectation is a completed and correct letter. Here's another example. You go to the bakery to inquire about cakes for your wedding. The baker produces a binder of pictures showing various wedding cakes. After one is selected, you say, "On Saturday, July 18th, I want that cake delivered to the church fellowship hall at 3 p.m. The baker has been given a clear assignment. A specific product is to be delivered at a specified time and place. Similarly, good classroom assignments specify what the students are to do or learn. The finished product is what the teacher wants produced as evidence of having completed the assignment. Step 1. Determine what you want the students to accomplish. The question that must be asked repeatedly is, "What do I want my students to learn?" Not, "What am I going to cover?" This is a question best answered by the school or district curriculum guide. This guide pairs what the student is to learn with state standards. Standards identify what is essential for students to master. Most states have standards. In Virginia, they are called Standards of Learning, SOL, or SOL. In Arizona, they are called Arizona's Instrument to Measure Standards, AIMS, or AIMS. Standards form the core or backbone of the curriculum. With standards in place, schools then can create guides for the curriculum. These guides tell the teachers what the students are to master and recommend methods to teach the content. When you are hired, ask for the curriculum guide for your teaching assignments. Go be. You teach the students, not the textbook. Teaching is not covering the textbook. Neither is the textbook the curriculum. More on this concept is in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 21 at effectiveteaching.com. What is a standard? Standard is derived from the French word étendard, the pennant around which soldiers would rally or go forth from. It represented the unifying symbol of solidarity for the soldier's purpose or mission. The term standard has become the measuring rod of quality used in many fields. When buying a car, we look at the performance standards. We buy from companies that produce goods and services at the highest standards. We expect the food and drug industry to meet the highest quality standards. The buildings we work in and roads we drive on are expected to be constructed to rigorous safety standards. We tell students that we want them to act with the highest standards of behavior. There is nothing we dislike more than having to return a defective product. Many companies proudly state that they meet ISO 9000 specifications, a set of worldwide standards companies strive to qualify for. ISO, International Organization for Standardization, consists of a set of standards that monitors the manufacturing process to produce quality goods and reduce defects. We expect and demand high standards to protect and enhance our lives. This is why most every enterprise has standards, including education. Here are typical subject-level standards from state education guides. Elementary Geometry, Minnesota. Classify simple shapes by specified attributes and identify simple shapes within complex shapes. Seventh Grade Physical Education, California. Explain the effects of nutrition and participation in physical activity on weight control, self-concept, and physical performance. High School Language Arts Literacy, New Jersey. Write multi-paragraph complex pieces across the curriculum using a variety of strategies to develop a central idea. For example, cause-effect, problem-solution, hypothesis-results, rhetorical questions, parallelism. Standards do not deprive you of creativity. Rather, they form the base point from which to design the lesson. Builders can design and construct homes in an unlimited number of ways, provided they do not violate the city's standards. The city checks to see that the plans meet codes or standards for the proper use of plumbing, electricity, structure, roofing, and other construction factors. If you were to buy a home, you would want to know that your home was built to code, which signifies that it meets the standards. Standards are the basis for learning. Standards are the basis for creativity. Standards describe what to teach, not how to teach it. What is a curriculum? The curriculum is the course of study and experiences that states what the students are to learn. It is the teacher's guide of what to teach and what the students are to learn. A curriculum is a school document that identifies the content to be taught and the suggested methods to be used. It is like a menu in a restaurant that lists the different wholesome food items available and how they are prepared. It is then up to the chef to create the recipes so diners can enjoy the food. The curriculum is created by a committee of teachers, administrators, and curriculum specialists. This group takes the state standards and designs curricular and instructional strategies that best convey the content to the students. This work is assembled into a curriculum guide. Its purpose is to guide the teachers so that students can achieve high levels of proficiency in the content areas. The district curriculum guide should 1. Identify the content, facts, concepts, topics, themes, skills, etc. 2. Suggest instructional methods to be used, discussion, case studies, role-playing, rehearsals, real-life experiences, cooperative learning, experiments, etc. 3. Suggest activities to teach the content or illustrate the method to be used. Therefore, if you have not already been given the curriculum guide, ask for it. You must have a guide as you teach, just as you must have a map as you travel. It is not your position to develop a personal curriculum for your classroom. It is your charge to deliver the district curriculum. Too often, new teachers have little or no access to information about what exactly they are to teach their students. Too many are handed a key to the classroom and sent off to teach without adequate information about curriculum and available resources, and often without knowing what their students are expected to learn before going on to the next grade. A research group at Harvard, the Project on the Next Generation of Teachers, discovered that few teachers began teaching with a clear operational curriculum in hand, and even fewer received curricula that aligned with state standards. This recipe for discouragement and failure on the part of new teachers and their students can be alleviated if a district has a curriculum guide for each subject and grade level and then shows new teachers how to implement the curriculum guide. Go B. The Emergency Teacher. Christina Asquith taught for a year in an urban school with no curriculum and no books. Read her story in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 21 at effectiveteaching.com. A Curriculum Work Plan. Many school districts have well-organized curriculum guides. LaFourche Parish Public Schools in Louisiana have curriculum work plans. These are correlated to the Louisiana Comprehensive Curriculum Standards. The LaFourche work plans have each student objective aligned with state standards. Each objective is accompanied by several suggested activities, so the work plan is really a teachable curriculum. Each work plan provides teachable objectives, a list of all available resources, technology connections, teaching activities, remediation activities, enrichment activities, sample assessments, and suggested activities. A teacher is not required to use the activities in the work plan. They are merely suggestions. However, just think how much more successful a teacher could be in a district that supplies its teachers with a curriculum work plan. This is teaching for mastery learning, not mystery learning. Are you teaching for accomplishment or just telling the students what to do? Ineffective teachers do not teach for learning. They tell students what to do. Often the work that is assigned is used to kill time. Unfortunately, there are teachers who thumb through the teacher's manual saying to themselves, "What can I find to keep them busy? What can I use to keep them quiet? What can I do to kill the period? What worksheet can I give them? What fun activity can I find? What can I do to make students like me?" As a result, an ineffective assignment tells students what to do. For example, read Chapter 24. Do the problems on page 34. Do this activity. Answer the questions at the end of the chapter. Complete this worksheet. Write a paper on Mexico. Sit quietly and read pages 23 to 30. Read the instructions on page 1. These are not accomplishments. They are jobs. They tell the students what to do. They do not tell students what is to be comprehended, learned, or achieved. When a student is told what to do, no sense of accomplishment or responsibility is associated with what the student is to learn. Assignments like those in the example cause students to say, "What are we doing today? Are you going to show us a video today? Are we doing anything important today? What's our assignment? Why do we have to do this? I'm finished. What do I do now?" The student may be finished, but did the student learn anything? In an ineffective classroom, students just sit around waiting for the teacher to tell them what to do. Effective teachers teach for student accomplishment and responsibility. When an assignment helps a student understand what is to be accomplished, it is also teaching responsibility. Students who are responsible and are working for learning and accomplishment will ask questions like these. "How am I doing? What do you think of this? Will I be first chair? Is this good enough for an A?" Questions like these tell you that the student is constantly and responsibly working to improve. Teach for accomplishment, using structured assignments with objectives, and not only will the students demonstrate competence, but you will be regarded as a competent teacher also. Your assignment is Chapter 24. Why didn't someone tell me how to give an assignment? I thought giving an assignment was telling the students what chapters to read. Students, your assignment for this week is Chapter 24, and the test this Friday will cover everything in Chapter 24. When I gave them the test a week later, I was horrified at all the poor test scores. And I started to blame the students for their poor achievement. They were not studying hard enough. They were not spending enough time on their homework. They were not reading carefully. They were not focusing. I had assigned, lectured on, led discussion on, and given them study time on the chapter. I even had a worksheet of questions for homework. It had to be the students' fault. Little did I know that when the students went home to do their homework, the parents would ask, "What's your assignment?" The students would respond, "Chapter 24. Both the parents and the students were at a loss as to what the assignment was. What does Chapter 24 mean? What is the student supposed to learn? How is the parent to help? It never occurred to me that the problem was me. I did not know how to give an assignment. I now know how to give assignments that help students achieve. It was not until years later that I learned this. A high school teacher. The greater the structure of a lesson and the more precise the directions on what is to be accomplished, the higher the achievement. Only 1 out of 12. Wise and Oki wanted to know what teaching strategies were most important in helping students achieve. They looked at these 12 possible factors: audiovisual, grading, inquiry, discovery, focusing on objectives, hands-on manipulation, modifying the textbooks and instructional materials, presentation mode of teacher, questioning strategies, testing, teacher direction, wait time, miscellaneous. They found that focusing on objectives had the biggest influence on student achievement. Step 2. Write each accomplishment as a single sentence. To teach for accomplishment, you must have a series of single sentences that clearly and precisely state what is to be accomplished. These single sentences are called objectives or learning criteria. Objectives are what a student must achieve to accomplish what the teacher states is to be learned, comprehended, or mastered. The objective of the lesson is the aim of learning. Objectives help students anticipate, focus, and understand the purpose of a lesson. Focusing on objectives makes a huge difference in student learning. The research of Kevin Wise and James Oki showed that the effective classroom appears to be the one in which the students are kept aware of instructional objectives and receive feedback on their progress toward these objectives. In other words, if students know what they are to learn, you increase the chances that they will learn. Objectives are classroom learning targets. The students know what they are aiming for, thus they know what they are responsible for learning. When both the student and teacher are moving toward the same target, goal, or objective, learning can occur. The students must be given a set of objectives at the beginning of their assignments, telling them what they are responsible for accomplishing. Objectives give purpose to a lesson. Students get more done when they see where they are going and what they are doing. Objectives are important for the teacher, too, because they specify what the teacher is to teach. Effective assignments occur when teachers teach with the end results in mind. Objectives serve two purposes. One, the lesson objectives tell the students what is to be accomplished. Two, the lesson objectives tell the teacher what is to be taught. As the students and the teacher are moving toward the same goals, there is a greater chance for learning to take place. Each objective must begin with a verb that states the action to be taken. It must show an accomplishment. The most important word to use in an assignment is a verb, because verbs help clarify whether or not an accomplishment has taken place. To teach for learning, use words, especially verbs, that state how to demonstrate that learning has taken place. Verbs are action words or thinking words. The example that follows lists some verbs that can be used. The verbs have been organized into levels, like floors in a building. The example is based on the work of Dr. Benjamin Bloom of the University of Chicago, and is known as Bloom's taxonomy. His taxonomy arranges verbs into six related groups. 1. Knowledge. 2. Comprehension. 3. Application. 4. Analysis. 5. Synthesis. 6. Evaluation. Thinking words to use in assignments. Bloom divided useful verbs into six categories. All the verbs in a group invoke a specific kind of thinking skill needed to complete an assignment. The verbs tell what the student is to do. Category 1. Knowledge. Define. Fill in the blank. Identify. Label. List. Locate. Match. Memorize. Name. Recall. Spell. State, tell, underline. Category 2, comprehension. Convert, describe, explain, interpret, paraphrase, put in order, restate, retell in your own words, rewrite, summarize, trace, translate. Category 3, application. Apply, compute, conclude, construct, demonstrate, determine, draw, find out, give an example, illustrate, make, operate, show, solve, state a rule or principle, use. Category 4, analysis. Analyze, categorize, classify. Compare, contrast, debate, deduct, determine the factors, diagnose, diagram, differentiate, dissect, distinguish, examine, infer, specify. Category 5, synthesis. Change, combine, compose, construct, create, design. Find an unusual way. Formulate. Generate. Invent. Originate. Plan. Predict. Pretend. Produce. Rearrange. Reconstruct. Reorganize. Revise. Suggest. Suppose. Visualize. Write. Category 6. Evaluation. Appraise, choose, compare, conclude, decide, defend, evaluate, give your opinion, judge, justify, prioritize, rank, rate, select, support, value. Levels of student thinking desired in an assignment. The level of thinking you want from a student in an assignment is based on the level from which you select the verb to use. The type of thinking required at each level becomes more complex as you go from knowledge to evaluation. Category 1. Knowledge. Use these verbs to ask a student to recall information. This thinking skill tells you that a student can recall or recognize information, concepts, and ideas in the approximate form in which they were learned. Category 2, comprehension. Use these verbs to ask a student to show comprehension or understanding. This thinking skill tells you that a student can grasp and interpret prior learning. Category 3, application. Use these verbs to ask a student to use learning in a new situation. This thinking skill tells you that a student can transfer selected information to a life problem or a new task with a minimum of direction. Category 4. Analysis. Use these verbs to ask a student to show that he or she can see parts and relationships. This thinking skill tells you that a student can examine, take apart, classify, predict, and draw conclusions. Category 5. Synthesis. Use these verbs to ask a student to take parts of information to create an original whole. This thinking skill tells you that a student can originate, combine, and integrate parts of prior knowledge into a product, plan, or proposal that is new. Category 6. Evaluation. Use these verbs to ask a student to make a judgment based on criteria. This thinking skill tells you that a student can appraise, assess, or criticize on the basis of specific standards and criteria. To begin with the end in mind means to start with a clear understanding of your destination. Stephen Covey. GOBEE. Bloom's Taxonomy Revision. A revision to Bloom's taxonomy with two major changes is being used by some educators. Details are in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 21 at EffectiveTeaching.com. Why do students get low grades? Students will achieve more if they know what procedures, do, and objectives, learn, they are responsible for. Refer to Unit C. What objectives accomplish? Objectives or criteria are written to accomplish two things, assign and assess. Chapter 23 discusses assessment. 1. Assign. Objectives give direction or tell a student what is to be comprehended or mastered in an assignment. 2. Assess. Objectives tell the teacher if additional study is needed to master an objective. Each objective should be stated as a single sentence. Here are examples of typical objectives. Name in order the parts of the digestive system. Summarize the class discussion on important study skills. Plan a pizza party. Categorize the contents of the box. Create a new ending for the story. Judge the effects of global warming. When and how to write objectives. Objectives state what you want students to accomplish. The students must know before the lesson, assignment, or activity begins what they are responsible for learning. Objectives must be written before the lesson begins because objectives tell the teacher what is to be taught and what they are to assess for learning. Objectives are to be given to the students when a lesson begins so the student knows what they are responsible for learning and what they will be tested on. Writing objectives is easy. There are only two things to do. 1. Pick a verb. Refer to Bloom's taxonomy and use the verb you select as the first word in a sentence. Only you know which verb to pick because you know what you want or need to teach. Only you know the level of competence and readiness of your students. Only you know what you want to prepare your students to do next. Refrain from choosing verbs all from one category because this would challenge your students at only one level of thinking. Objectives begin with verbs. Verbs are action words that do two things. 1. Verbs tell the student what is to be accomplished. 2. Verbs tell the teacher what to look for to see if the student has accomplished what the teacher specified. 2. Complete the sentence. The verb tells the student what action is to be taken, and the rest of the sentence tells the student what is to be accomplished or mastered. Make sure the sentence is precise and easily understood by you, the students, and their parents. Applying Bloom's taxonomy to the study of Antarctica. 1. Knowledge. Who was the first person to reach the South Pole? 2. Comprehension. Describe the difference between the Arctic and Antarctic regions. 3. Application. Give an example of one piece of modern technology that, had it been available to the explorers, would have made a difference in their trip. 4. Analysis. Compare the weather at the South Pole on December 1st and June 1st in any given year. 5. Synthesis. Pretend that you made the journey. Write an entry in your diary describing your emotions on the day you reached the South Pole. 6. Evaluation. Should Antarctica remain a continent free of development and left with its natural habitat? Justify your position. How to write an objective. Step 1. Pick a verb. Step 2. Complete the sentence. Examples. List 4 collective nouns. Create a different system to catalog CDs in a library. Can you explain why Chapter 5 is not a good assignment? Can you explain why List 4 collective nouns is a good assignment? Words like the following are not good action verbs because it is difficult, if not impossible, to determine from them what the student is to do. They are also not on Bloom's list. Do not use these verbs when you write objectives. Appreciate, be happy, enjoy, like, beautify, celebrate, love, understand. It is important that a layperson can easily read and understand an objective. The more understandable the sentence, the greater the chance that the student will do what is intended. Objectives should be clear, concise, explicit, in student-friendly language, and aligned to the tests. Do not write complex objectives like the following, taken from a published elementary science program. Given two different molds growing on the same plate, the student will describe the inhibiting reaction at the interface of the molds. Write precise objectives that state what you want the student to accomplish. The above objective could have been written in a straightforward and simpler way for all to understand. Describe what happens when two molds grow together. Objectives do not have to be written. They can be stated verbally. This is a useful approach in the primary grades and certain special education situations. You need not present all the objectives at one time either. For elementary students, it may be more appropriate to state the objectives one or two at a time. Most importantly, you must continually look at the objectives to make sure the class is on course. For instance, if you are driving, you refer repeatedly to your map. If you are building a house, the contractor, inspector, and you refer frequently to the blueprints. And if you are at a conference, you refer to the program to determine the topic of the next session and where it will be held. Schools typically have an open house about a month after school begins. When the parents ask you, "How do I tell what my child's assignment is?" tell them how you give assignments. When you show the objectives to the parents, use the analogy of a map, blueprint, shopping list, or agenda. This will help them understand what you are teaching. The better they understand what you are teaching, the better they can help their children do what they need to learn. When the objectives of a lesson are matched to the district and state standards, it is called alignment. What the student is to learn and how you teach it fit together smoothly. Students can be in control when they know what objective they are responsible to learn. The optimum length of an assignment. The shorter the assignment, the more likely the student will complete it. The longer the assignment, the less likely the student will complete it. Except for term papers and other special projects, there are optimum lengths for assignments. No high school assignment should exceed 5 days. No junior or middle school assignment should exceed 4 days. No intermediate school assignment should exceed 3 days. No primary school assignment should exceed a day or, occasionally, 2. No special education assignment should exceed 15 minutes. Step 3. Give the students a copy of the objectives. The following assignment, used with great success for years, is presented as an example only. Ignore the subject and focus on how the objectives for the assignment are written as study guidelines. Then apply the example to your own subject matter. The digestive system. The digestive system breaks down food into usable forms for the cells. Your study guidelines. Just as you would use a map to guide you to a destination, use these sentences to guide you in your study of this unit. 1. Define all the vocabulary words. 2. State the function of the digestive system. 3. Give examples of the different types of nutrients. 4. Differentiate and give examples of nutritious and non-nutritious foods. 5. Compare mechanical and chemical digestion. 6. Draw the digestive system and state the function of each part. 7. Explain how nutrients get into the blood. 8. Devise a healthy diet for a week-long trek into the mountains. 9. Assess the effectiveness of different weight loss programs. How to use study guidelines to help students achieve. 1. The first time you give students the assignment, explain to them the concept of study guidelines. They are guides that you have prepared to help them complete the assignment. You want to be their guide and help them be successful. 2. Use the analogy of a map, program, agenda, or shopping list to explain the use of study guidelines. For example, explain to the students that just as a traveler would use a map as a guide to a destination, each sentence serves as a map to guide them in their study of this unit. The study guidelines are to be presented as user-friendly, not intimidating. 3. Tell students that the best way to use the study guidelines is to place them next to whatever source they are studying, such as their textbooks, worksheets, or notes. They are to use the study guidelines just as their parents might use a road map as a guide while driving. 4. Tell students that the central concept of the lesson is between the two horizontal lines at the top. They are to focus on this as the key idea for the assignment, as opposed to meaningless assignments like Chapter 24, Decimals, or the Middle East. 5. Point out the numbered sentences on the study guidelines. It's not necessary to use the term objectives, but you might choose to do so. Explain to the students that these sentences tell exactly what they are responsible for and that they must master these specifics if they are to understand the key idea. 6. Tell students that each sentence will be the subject of a series of questions on the exam. The students will be tested for their comprehension and mastery of each sentence or objective. Refer to Chapter 23. Study guidelines assist students and parents in clearly defining the expectations for success in and mastery of the concepts presented in the lesson. Step 4. Post or send the objectives home with the students. The objective is the object of the lesson. Write the objective on the board. Students are more likely to buy into the lesson and are more likely to participate in activities if they understand why they're doing it. Begin a lesson by pointing to the objective so that everyone knows where they are going. Refer to the objective during a lesson to allow the students to check for their own understanding. This helps them recognize when they don't understand the lesson. Bring closure to a lesson with the objective to assist the students in focusing on their learning. Increase achievement. Simply tell students what they will be learning before the lesson begins, and you can raise student achievement as much as 27%. Study guidelines tell students up front what they need to know for achievement. What about students who need additional directions? Objectives are fine for average to above average students who can be entrusted with a responsibility and will take the ball and run with it. These students will grow up to be teachers, retailers, or executives and will be able to translate a plan or a project into concrete results. They are people who know how to solve problems and achieve on their own. They do not have to be told what to do. There are many students and adults, however, who want to be told what to do. These students are not necessarily below average students. They may be students who have no background in your subject or who face a linguistic or cultural barrier. For these students, write specific questions or procedures for each objective. This is an example of how to differentiate instruction. Example. This example is based on Objective 3 from the study guidelines on the digestive system. Objective. Give examples of the different types of nutrients. Accompanying questions. 1. Name the different kinds of nutrients. 2. Define and give examples of proteins. 3. Define and give examples of carbohydrates. 4. Define and give examples of fats. 5. Explain why proteins are important for your body. 6. Explain why carbohydrates are important for your body. 7. Explain why fats are important for your body. Accompanying task. For students who really need lots of direction, next to each question, give the page number or location where the answer may be found. Or, rather than giving the page number, have the students write the page number in the left margin as they complete the task or question. This way they can quickly go back to the source of the answer for review. The key to having students do their assignments. The three major factors when writing an objective. 1. Structure. Use a consistent format. 2. Preciseness. Use succinct, clear sentences. 3. Accomplishment. Tell what is to be achieved. To maximize the frequency with which your students will do their assignments, and to maximize your effectiveness as a teacher, 1. Write assignments for accomplishment based on objectives, not coverage. 2. Write the objectives so succinctly and clearly that even outsiders such as parents can understand the assignment. 3. Give students the objectives in advance so they know what they are responsible for accomplishing. Education is not a process of putting the learner under control, but one of putting the learner in control of his or her own learning. Allison Preece, University of Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. The effective teacher, 1, writes objectives that tell the student what is to be accomplished. 2, is able to align objectives with state or district standards. 3, knows how to write objectives at all 6 levels of Bloom's taxonomy. 4, posts the objectives for students to accomplish. 22. How to test for student learning. The key idea. The purpose of a test is to determine if a student has mastered the objectives. When you have measurements, you have performance. When you have no measurements, you have excuses. Peter Drucker. The purpose of a test. The major reason for giving a test is to find out if the students have accomplished the objectives of the assignment. When you assess, you help. Schools must change from a testing culture to an assessment culture. The purpose of a test is to assess a student's performance of the lesson objectives, not to provide the teacher with his basis for a grade. When you test for grading purposes, you are labeling students. When you assess for accomplishments, you are helping each student achieve success. Tests are given for the students' sake. Tests are not given for the teacher's benefit. Tests are not given to grade students. Tests are given to assess for student learning. Objectives must be written before the unit or lesson begins because objectives tell the students what they are to learn and tell the teacher what is to be taught. The test must be written before the lesson begins because the test will be used to assess for student learning. Give students the objectives at the beginning of the lesson so they know what they are responsible for accomplishing. Students like to have lesson objectives because they tell them what they are to learn. Objectives also tell students the basis upon which they will be evaluated, because the test is aligned to those objectives. Tests do not determine objectives. Objectives determine tests. Students like objectives because they see in bite-sized chunks the purpose of a lesson. If a test cannot be written to assess for learning, then the objectives have not been written correctly to measure for learning. This chapter discusses the construction of tests and how tests are used to assess for accomplishment of the objectives. When to write a test. Both the assignment and the test are to be written concomitantly, in tandem, at the beginning of the assignment. The assignment and the test must be written together because they are interrelated and must therefore correlate with one another. Tests are to be used to monitor and assess for learning. Tests should not be used merely to verify teacher coverage of materials. Tests should be used to determine if a student has or has not accomplished and comprehended the stated objectives of the lesson. These are not valid reasons for writing tests. Passage of time, material covered, curve grading, period to kill. Passage of time. Learning has nothing to do with time intervals, such as the length of a grading period, the due date for deficiency notices, or because 2 weeks have passed and it's time for a test. If grades are needed for report cards, you should structure the assignments, not the test, to fall within the grading period. Material covered. Tests should not be written at a particular juncture simply because enough material has been covered. Your criteria, not the volume of material, should determine when to test your students. Curve grading. It is a mistake to state arbitrarily, I want each test to be worth 50 points so that I will have a sufficient point spread to grade the class on a curve. The purpose of testing is not to compare one student to others. Tests are used to help the teacher determine what an individual student needs to learn. Period to kill. The number of questions on a test is not to be determined by the length of the class period. The length of a test is determined by each task, or the number of questions necessary to assess what each student knows and can do. In short, whether each individual has accomplished the objectives of the lesson. What we know about grades. Research has revealed this about grades. Grading and reporting aren't essential to instruction. Grades are not related to teaching or learning well. What is essential is how the teacher continually monitors and assesses for the learning progress of the student. This will be the subject of Chapter 23. Grades have some value as rewards, but no value as punishments. Teachers should never use grades as weapons, because this offers no educational value and it adversely affects student-teacher relationships. Grading and reporting should always be done in reference to learning objectives, never on a curve. Grading on a curve pits students against one another and converts learning into a game of winners and losers. Grades are only as good as the assessment system from which they are drawn. Grades are clear if clear standards